sometimes they have to kill us. They have to kill us. Because they can't break our spirit.
We choose directly who we are. We know the difference between the reality of freedom and the illusion of freedom. There's a way to live with Earth and a way not to live with Earth. We choose the way of Earth. It's about power.
Friends, this is your co-host, Will Blue Otter. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Otter, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho. Coming to you. Sorry I missed you last week. My wife had a major health emergency. Things turned out very well. And it was a very much a duality situation. A lot of crap happened, but a lot of good stuff happened too. Anyway, we want to welcome White Snake Woman, Eve. Is it Hennessy or Hennessy?
Hennessy. Spelled like Hennessy, but pronounced Hennessy.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, cool. Kind of wondered. And we're going to be talking with Eve, and we have the ever-present and ubiquitous Mark the Badger Borcherding, and with us again. And guys, he's the heart and soul of the show as far as I'm concerned. He's an amazing person. Anyway, say hi to the folks, then we'll get into your reading, and then we'll talk some more.
Oh, okay. Well, hey everybody, this is Eve Hennessy, White Snake Woman, and I'm very happy to be talking with you tonight here from Washington D.C. Very sacred land and a very beautiful place where I live and do my work.
Well, welcome to the show. Eve was talking with Mark a few minutes ago and about her Mayan birth sign, and I guess the badger probably had a little time to get something worked up for her. Are you ready to go, Mark?
Yeah. Well, she actually knew what her traditional day count was already. It's a day 8 Chuen, or 8 bats. This day is a very interesting day because it's actually the day that the Mayans do their daykeeper initiation ceremony on.
Wow.
So all daykeepers start their being a daykeeper on this day. Well, I guess you could say that will start when they're conceived or born. But this is when they kind of really get going. And the eight kind of signifies a completion of energies relating to the material world. It will also connect into to the very top of apex of a pyramid. And interestingly enough, it's also considered to have a little bit more of the male or masculine energy to it. And then the bats, or Chuan, are also called the monkey glyph sometimes, like a howler monkey in the Popovu, Mayan Popovu. That has to do with time and the weaving and thread and ebbs and flow of time and destiny and history and all that, which, of course, goes in with the idea of the Mayan daykeeper being initiated on this particular day. So it's a very interesting day. But we'll go into something that she doesn't know now, because we're going to kick into the sixth sun, Vulcan, and see what it says about her birth. And this will have three components that most of our listeners know: a forward flow of time, a backward flow, and then where these two time flows come together and unite. So we'll do the forward flow of time first for the sixth sun. And hers is an 8-eek, connecting a little bit into Blue Otter's 9-eek. And it's in the peace cycle. So spirit, peace, and breath, and communication, and prayer are going to be probably a big component of her life, you know, ever since she probably showed up on Earth. And it also has some jaguar energy here, and bringing in a little bit of the mystical, timeless component of the spirit energy here. Egg glyph is a T-cross symbol. So whenever you go down to Mexico or in the Grand Kiva at Chaco Canyon, you see the T-cross entrance, you'll see that symbol, a very important symbol for them. On the backward flow of time, coming from the next world cycle back into our cycle, that we're kind of in between those two, moving into the sixth sun, she has a day which is condor energy. So if you hear the prophecy of the eagle and the condor and them coming together and uniting, so the condor is kind of the South America, the tribal, family, heart energy, and then the eagle energy is mine, North America, north part of the world. You know, hers is more the southern part. So this would indicate to me that things happening in the last few years to her, I would not be surprised if those are going to be more of the condor power energy showing up in her life and giving her that strength. And these have to do with you know, fearlessness, aspect of reason, justice, very strong component here of just love, opening up paths, wisdom, free will, and it's sitting in a counterbalance in the beginning of the cycle of dreaming, and things that have to do with the underworld, caves, so things like that may have been showing up in her life, things about, you know, in a nutshell, things in South America, tribal things, caves, probably maybe been feeling like are already doing things like sweat lodges and stuff, things like that, probably been showing up maybe. And these are leading into the overall goal of this energy working in her life is connecting everything, universalist, connecting the whole web of life, bringing everything together. Unity. And so where these two things go, this condor energy. Hello?
Hello?
Yes.
Okay. I can put my
I had to call her back. There was a lot of roaring on her line and
yeah.
Yeah, make sure you stay off speaker or whatever and
What was the last thing we were covering that you heard?
I heard about the jaguar energy. Oh,
yeah.
And actually I heard about the condor.
Okay.
Lost
very interesting.
About a minute and a half is all.
So, yeah, things about...
I lived for 10 years in Mexico.
Yeah.
And I've been traveling there a lot, which is still sort of eagle territory, but
Yeah. Well, that's more Quetzal energy.
Yeah, yeah. We saw some. Yeah. I've seen 5 Quetzal birds down there.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
So, did you go hang out in any caves?
No. Not recently.
Caves, sweat lodges, stuff like that, you know, Kiva.
Yeah, yeah, we did Temascales down there and worked in the Teotihuacan and with many pyramid. Did a lot of work in different pyramids and sacred sites there.
There's a very important cave underneath the Pyramid of the Sun.
Yes, I'm aware of that. The inframundo.
Yeah, it's a very, very special place under there. That's probably the reason that whole complex was built. It was because of that. And that'll connect into you, too, a little bit more, too. So there'll probably be some more condor things showing up, coming up through, things that have moved up through South America in through Central America. Now, even some of the Cherokee, I think Bluewater did some of that. So
yeah, well, I'm born in North Carolina. And, I actually went to graduate school in Mexico City, which is built right over a ruin there.
Yep.
Templo Mayor.
Well, where your T-Cross geek spirit energy and your condor energy is coming together, they're creating kind of a zero or balancing point. And it's another number 8 and a peace symbol. And
it is
doubling back and connecting back into your bats or QN energy very strongly. And it's a new one of the new glyphs energy, and it's a green color. So it relates to the center of the Mayan medicine wheel. And it has, so this is kind of your doorway energy or bridge or gateway between worlds. This is kind of how, what helps you, but it also, when you're clicking with it, it's also what helps you to help others. And it's about things about being, shaping reality in a very childlike manner.
Oh, well, that's interesting.
Peace and hope. Creating things, but these things have a partnering energy of soul, joy, and forgiveness. So you can kind of, you have the ability potentially here to teach and in a kind of childlike way, but also bring people around into how to forgive, because that's probably one of the key things on our planet right now, because everything's such a mess and everybody's been fighting for so long. You know, it's very easy for people to go, well, you know, why don't we just keep fighting and beating each other up? Well, we don't need to forgive each other and get along. We can just keep fighting.
Yeah.
So you're at your best here at helping us move from one world cycle to the next. And the next world cycle, according to the Hopi story, is our world has the opportunity to literally bloom into peacefulness. And your gateway here reading is showing that you have key part that you could jump right in there on there and help that occur through being primarily kind of childlike, peaceful, and forgiveness. And that's going to connect directly back into your soul and bring a lot of joy to you and everybody else around you.
Oh, that's really amazing because... you know, what I was thinking of talking about, you know, so much is, you know, earth work, earth healing, all this stuff. But in the past year, I've created this thing. It's called the Fantasy Calendar, which is very, of course, very childlike, very fun. It's about creating your own reality with calendar through fantasy and dreaming, imagining. And you know, you get a calendar and you write down what you want in there. And it's a whole process to actually... bring peace to yourself, you know, and joy, because you could be sitting there bogged down about some problem or whatever. You just pull out your fantasy calendar and you write down what you do want, you know, and that changes around your whole mindset immediately. You start focusing on what you want. And it's a fantasy, and it's all fun calendar. There's no serious, you don't have to meditate on it, nothing, you know. All you have to do is write it down You know, you can have frivolous, you know, frivolous things, or very serious things, spiritual things, you know, all kinds of levels of manifestation. So that's very interesting. And so I'm creating my website now, and it's got flamingos, and you know, it's a very fun oriented manifestation tool, and very, very powerful. Very powerful. It works really well. So I find that interesting about the childlikeness. And I dance as well, and I bring a lot of my dances for lifting people's spirits, bringing joy, happiness, carefree, freedom, unifying all different kinds of people, you know, in that way, in the dance and the joy. So, wow, that's fascinating reading. Very fascinating. And as far as peace goes, I work a lot with the land, and I was working with the land and medicine wheels, and then I met Rainbow Thunderheart, and then he's given me a lot of teaching about that, you know, which is how to clear all the strife and warring, fighting, anger, how to clear all that out of the land so that people can be free and can start fresh and can forgive instead of going, you know, into the same cycles over and over again. So,
well, you know, the interesting thing about that is even quantum science right now is telling us that our thoughts, our intentions, and our prayers not only work forwards in time for the future and now, they also go backwards. In other words, our prayers, our intentions, and our forgiveness can go back and affect the past. Past is not set in stone.
Definitely.
We can actually do prayers, and we can say, okay, in a family, sometimes families all have a health problem, one person's suffering, and I'll tell them, you know, do some generational healing. You know what that is? And they say, well, no. And I say, do a prayer. If you know the troublemaker in your family, do a prayer for them and a forgiveness. If you don't know who they are, or you think there's a lot of them, you know, which there probably is in all of our families, right? Do a blanket prayer for everybody of forgiveness. Well, there's been people that have done that, and within hours, they're already seeing some benefit to their health. Well, we can do the same thing for all the wars, all the problems on our planet. We can go through and say, I forgive all these other people that have done this, 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 and this. You know, screwed over the natives here in the United States. Blacks got, these people did this to this person, this people did this, you know. And by us offering up that forgiveness, then, we do change things.
Hey, Mark?
So, yeah, this is very real.
The Hebrew mystics would take that a step forward. They would say that if our ancestors who are on the other side, if they screwed up and passed things along to us that were screwed up, like beliefs and everything, and if we change those beliefs, we're not only getting clearing karma for ourselves, but we're clearing it for them.
Yeah.
So that's not just
many
new
cultures
age,
have that same idea.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I totally believe we're going back in our own bloodline and cleaning out all the past and forgiving it and loving it and clearing everything up.
But our ultimate goal here is we bring everything back as one in Lakesh or Omatakiasan, or Namaste, or you know, people have how many different words to say it, that we come back together and we recognize each other as one. And that's what we're trying to do. And the forgiveness is probably the key part, really. And because that is ultimately what's going to bring us peace.
Wow. Yeah, it's actually really interesting. Actually, my initiation as the White Snake Woman, before that, I was a sort of a born-again charismatic healer for many years and a missionary interpreter, Spanish interpreter. Many years before, we were healers. Like, we were deep mystics, you know, not like church people. But I was a church person, and I gave up my religion for 5 years. I didn't want anything to do with anything spiritual, and one day, it was at the end of a Native American prayer vigil. I just happened to be there. I didn't know anything about Native Americans and, you know, a little bit. And there was two people arguing, bitterly arguing, and it was at the end of a 20-year prayer vigil. These two people were arguing, and I was like, this can't end like this, you know, because the prayers can't go out, you know, if it's just bitter argument. I mean, I did learn one thing in my life is that the most important thing is for us to get along with each other. And anytime we're in disharmony, we're stopping the flow, you know, of the prayers and the goodness. So I waited until after everyone left, and I performed a dance on that land, which happened to have been right in front of the Washington Monument. And I have some pictures of that, and I was just praying, you know, for the land to be cleared and that argument to be softened so that the prayers could go through. And, you know, spirits somehow noticed that, and they can, you know, all kinds of really interesting happenings happened, you know, for the years after that. You know, these same people who had been involved in that, you know, from all over the world. It wasn't people from Washington, because people come here to do that kind of stuff. They don't live here. And I ended up hooking up with them. And but it was all about the healing of an argument and the land, of healing it out of the land, you know. And that's just so much of what I've been doing. And it does completely radically change things. Like, Washington, D.C. is a much more joyful place. It used to be a very serious kind of downtrodden energy here. And, you know, because of what I've been doing and Rainbow Thunderheart's helping, and now there's more people who are coming to do this work, also other people in the past coming in to help heal up, you know, all of the wrongs and the injustices and, the, you know, there's thousands of years of that going on here. This land has been inhabited for at least 10,000 years. So it's amazing what loving the darkness, you know, loving our enemy and loving the darkness in ourselves, and just that, you know, somehow releases that forgiveness and it neutralizes that, the power, you know, of that stronghold of negative actions, you know, and it releases it to be able to start fresh and bring in the joy and bring the fun and the love, prosperity. Yeah.
Well, that's good. These Washington District of Criminals needs it.
That's what I hear. But it's funny because most of all the work I do is in the forest. We have a beautiful forest here. Like, I see this city. It's Rainbow Thunderheart and I. Just today we went to the Great Falls. We have here Great Falls and the Great Potomac River, the Great Anacostia River. We have an island in one of the rivers. We have it's a place where two land masses meet, the Piedmont Plateau and the lowland plains, and it's a very sacred land area that's been sacred for, so you know, 10,000 years at least. There's rose quartzite mines here. Well, they're not mine. Well, they weren't mines before they were dug open, but, well, 10,000 years they were. And, you know, it's a beautiful land. Like, I don't even see so much the political side. When other people come here and work, they will go down, you know, the Washington Monument and all of those other places. But most of the work that I do, there's a forest here. I've spent 4 days in the forest here. You cannot even see another human being. It's literally a special place, and it's a lot of magic here. And I don't know. I haven't checked in with the politicians, because it's not my area of interest. I sort of avoid anything having to do with them as much as possible. But we'll see. We'll see if there's a change that reaches them. But now there's more and more people also joining in with the medicine wheels, and now we're doing other ceremonies during the month, full moon ceremonies. And people are coming out of the woodwork because here in Washington, D.C., you know, we don't even have a store here where you can buy a crystal. You know, it is not nothing New Age about it
here.
You're
kidding.
No, you can't buy a crystal here. This is Washington, D.C. People think, oh, where's your New Age store? And it's like, we do not have a New Age store. You can't get a book on a Mayan calendar. Well, you could probably get it at Barnes & Noble. That's it. Yeah.
Where's it near? How about Annapolis or anywhere around there?
No, well, there's a place called Tacoma Park. So it's over the border in Maryland, and you can buy crystals there and do all that stuff. But right here, D.C. proper is, you know, it's Washington, D.C. It's really, it's its own place. But people are starting to come out of the woodwork. You know, we're starting, I was like doing ceremonies and I found a few people. And then we're starting to find each other and a few different groups are starting up. And it's getting really strong now, the movement for, you know, bringing in the golden age and healing the earth.
You think, you know, I'll bet you something will open up in Georgetown sometime. It might be in the back of a music store or something like that, but I'll bet you Georgetown just seems like it'd be the place.
I don't know. Well, I heard that American Apparel, you know, which is a clothing store, was selling smudge sticks or something like that.
Yeah, right.
That's about as close as we're getting. Or they're selling... I think they might have been selling a crystal as well.
Well, you always go get some sage seed somewhere and put it in a pot and grow your own and make your own smudge sticks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Plant them out at Rock Creek Park, you know, it needs it.
Yeah, that's where I hang out in the Rock Creek Park. That's my land. One day, this is before I even knew, I was really unaware of so much going on, and then the spirits one day told me, they're like, you're the medicine woman of the Rock Creek Park, you know, and I didn't think too much of it, but years later, well, it's about 2 years net later, and I'm doing medicine wheels there 4 times a year, and I actually bring people to do sort of Ojibwe-style fasting ceremonies and vision quests in the forest there, and just connecting to people to the land, and it's becoming a really more beautiful city all the time. And
That's good.
Tell us a little bit more about the Ojibwe connection.
Oh, well, interestingly, the story about how I did the prayer for the release, to heal that argument and release the prayers, the woman who had started this prayer vigil, her name was Grandmother Lillian, and she was Ojibwe, and she had some students in this area in Maryland and all over the country. She was kind of a very well-known healer. So my connection is, anyway, that I didn't know this till years later, but that was the prayer vigil that she had actually started. It was sort of her baby, but she had passed away a year before. That's why it was ending. And, you know... So a little while after that, I kind of was having all these spiritual experiences and dreaming about snakes and all these things going on. So started to look into it, and I took a course on, I went to learn how to do a drum journey. So my first drum journey, I met all of these ancestral grandmothers, and I met her, Lillian, all of these people. And
wow, that was
on
your
about,
first drum vision? Your first
yeah,
drum
I went over a
people?
Rainbow Bridge. I didn't even know what any of it was. I just went right there. I went over the Rainbow Bridge. I met all these teachers.
Hmm.
They let me know. They actually let me know. They were saying stuff to me. They said, well, we really like you because you're funny. We like your dancing. We like that you will tell the truth when the time comes. They were telling me things that they liked about me, which was really nice at that time, because, you know, there are some periods of your life where people are not always saying, you know, letting you know that you're appreciated. And that, especially at that time, I just felt, oh my gosh, I'm just such a weirdo. I'm so into snakes and I want to sit in the forest. And, you know, this is Washington, D.C. I was just really not feeling too normal at the time. And they're like, no, you're great. Oh, we really like you, you know. And,
If you like snakes,
then I met real Ojibwes. One hour later, I met people who were from the same town as she was. And this was out in Maryland. And they just happened to be doing, hunting her for a fast, so they invited me in to do a sweat while I was with them. And then I was together with them at this place called Dreamers Rock up in Ontario. I was connected with them, and that's where I got my name and a lot of teachings.
Well, you know, my sister absolutely loves snakes and lizards, and cuddle them and kiss them. And But, you know, Washington, D.C., I mean, that's a natural for, you know, if you like snakes, you should be able to get along with anybody up on Capitol Hill.
Good one.
Well, let me ask, have to be a snake in the grass. Seriously, have you ever dreamed of a spotted snake?
Not that I can recall right off.
Okay. Well, if you ever do, let me know and email me, and I'll tell you what some of the backstory might be.
Okay.
Now you say you're born in North Carolina.
Yes, I am.
Your family go back there. Did you mention you might have some Cherokee blood?
Oh, yeah. Well, my great-grandparents are from Cherokee, North Carolina. I'm not sure, you know,
that's a good sign. Because
but that's where they're from.
Because if they're from there, their great-grandparents, the only reason why they'd be from there is because they were Cherokee. Do you know what their last names were?
Well, our name Hennessy is, but that's spelled funny because they didn't really know how to spell too well. You know, so that's why it's not spelled correctly. And then there was Beavers and Hennessy's, I think.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'd like to invite you to enroll in the Cherokee Nation of Mexico. We are federally recognized by Gobernación in Mexico City and by the government of Coahuila.
Uh-huh.
And you can get more information at CherokeeDiscovery.com, which will take you to Cherokee Nation of Sequoia. And you can read about how Sequoia died in Mexico on his third trip down there, because the bulk of the Cherokee Nation actually migrated out of the United States, the United States in 1721 after the first treaty. Mm-hmm. And that's where we migrated up from. And then he found some of our people in Coahuila. But at 1860...
Yeah, I actually have a good friend from Coahuila.
Oh, yeah? Well, in 1860, the leaders down there sent a letter to Tahlequah saying, you know, hey, remember us. You know, we've been at Lake Chapala, and we're migrating southward.
Oh, okay. So,
Okay. Yep. And there's lots of blonde-haired, blue-eyed Cherokees. Terry Miller, Keeper of the Sacred Fire, you know, the same situation. And I'll send you some information. It's absolutely free. We'd love to have you. Our principal chief, Dr. Charles Yatlohi Rogers, has had a practice in Mexico for almost 40 years. He's a rock star down there. And
that's fascinating, because those are my places, you know.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Our Red Chief, Chief Van, lives in Mexico, and we'll hook you up. We'll hook you up. Love to have you.
Yeah, I go there. I love Mexico. I love Mexico City. I love Teotihuacan, Yucatan, and
Chief's son was raised down there. He speaks perfect Spanish. He graduated from NYU Film School 3 or 4 months ago. And last year he won the juried film award at South by Southwest for a comedy. And he moved out to Silver Lake, and he's in the business out there in Hollywood. He's going to do well.
That's fascinating. I have a good story about a Cherokee pipe, actually, also Washington, D.C. But one night I woke up in the middle of the night, and I didn't have a pipe, and most Ojibwe lots of people have. They use a pipe in with the Ojibwe, and I didn't really feel like I wanted one, but one night in the middle of the night, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I said to Lillian, the grandmother Lillian passed, I said, Lillian, I want a pipe. And a few days later, I discovered in a, not really a public museum, but a private collection here in Washington, D.C., there is a very old ancient Cherokee pipe that is from around 1871 in the possession of the Indian agent at that time. And it's very close to my house, this pipe, and I say prayers for it. And I was trying to get it repatriated so it could find its proper home. But all of the Cherokee organizations were not that interested in it. So I was told that it's in a place for safekeeping for the time being until the people can understand, you know, the significance of, you know, the sacredness of this pipe. And
can you describe it?
It's about 2 feet long. It's like brown wooden pipe with a red bowl, and it has a ribbon, you know, a textile ribbon that's red and blue.
Is it effigy?
White.
Is it some kind of effigy pipe, or is it?
No, it's very simple, very plain.
Yeah.
I have some photographs of it.
Yeah,
very,
that's
very plain. It's very large.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's interesting, because if you go to YouTube,
mm-hmm.
and let's see, I have to send you a link. My websites are down right now. 1984, the Katua pipe, which is a very large, very simple elbow pipe,
uh-huh.
Was
uh-huh.
brought out, and the wampum belts were brought out, and KJRH-TV did a documentary about it, and
wow.
We put that up online, but I don't know, 8-10 years ago, something like that. But you can actually see the pipe and see the wampum belts, and but that's what it looked like, just very simple and very large. And
large.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it would take a I mean, if it was in your hand,
mm-hmm.
you know, if the you know, it would take up a lot of your hand.
Yeah. Well, this pipe is very long. Like, yeah, I would have to sort of extend my arm out pretty far to hold it.
Probably a sumac. Probably a sumac stem, something like that. So,
yeah.
Anyway, yeah. Go ahead. Don't let me interrupt you. Go ahead. Go. Sorry.
Yeah, I'll send you some photos of it.
Oh, cool.
Mm-hmm.
What's it? Smithsonian have it or something?
No, it's in a. I wasn't really telling a lot of people where it was because I just.
Okay, that's cool.
I just didn't feel that, but no, it's in a more private collection.
Oh, okay.
It is on public display, but it's in a, not a real museum. That's why, you know, the museum wouldn't be able to own something like that.
Yeah.
Because I talked with the repatriation experts. And this thing could definitely be repatriated if someone was to claim it, you know, if it found the right home, because I saw it and I just, it was not supposed to be there. And it was not really good conditions how it got there, you know?
Yeah. I bet the Katuas know about it. I bet they'd, did you contact anyone in the UK, baby? So you think they would recognize what it, anyway, we'll talk about that later. That's okay.
Yeah, it just has to eventually find its right home, and for now it's here, and you know, I'm keeping my eye on it and sending my prayers out to it. So the medicine wheel that I've made in the Rock Creek Park, also I'm an artist, that's my profession, and I carved a very large snake. It's a rainbow deer snake. It's about 7 feet tall. And I have that in the center of the medicine wheel. And it's going to be showing in New York City September 26th. at this with this place called the Berlin Collective, which is artists from 17 cities, different artists who are doing site-specific installation works. So I'm very excited about that because all this work that I just was doing in secret and my own private work, you know, now it's going to be shared, you know, with other people, and I'm very excited about it. I feel it's going to really help people to connect with their own land and understand, you know, I created a vortex here with this medicine wheel. All the ceremonies that we've created has created an incredible energy vortex here. And now it's going to go travel, and other people are going to be able to see it. So, pretty excited about that. Uh-oh, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, we're here.
Yep.
Oh, good. I heard some hissing.
But, yeah, you know, whenever you get done, just let us know. We scheduled 90 minutes, but we don't have to use it all. We can use all or part of it or whatever. And I did send Blue Thunder the phone number to call in, and I hope he does. I've got his phone number. You want me to call him?
You're gonna call him. He went to the store. Yeah, give him a call.
Okay. Let me.
He actually understands. He understands also a lot about what's going on here. He's been a teacher to me. He's helped me. I was already doing my work without a lot of information, just on instinct, and he's showed me a lot about how to work the energy and what it means in larger context.
Okay, I'm going to get his phone number.
I've been working
here
on a lot of sacred sites here in Washington, and also working on the springs that were tapped up. There's different places where the springs were blocked, and working to get that released and get all the natural flow of energy going back in the healthy ways like it used to be.
Okay, hang on. Loose a second here. Type this in.
Yeah, and also he does more work when he's been here. I mean, I help him, but he's done more work with the Washington Monument, the Lincoln Memorial, those energies down there. I sit up on a hill overlooking that. Like, I'm on the lookout hill, Washington, D.C.
I heard the Russians sent over some kind of big statue thing, about 150 tons or so, and it was basically a big teardrop in a cracked wall. And underneath it, on the base, it has an 11-sided base, and it's for September 11th for the all the people died, and they have on the bottom have all the names of everybody that died on September 11th carved in that rock. I'd never heard about it before. I just saw it the other day.
I've never heard of it either. Is it here?
Yeah. Look up, go on YouTube and look up Russia, teardrop, and 9/11 or something. Yeah, they gave this big, huge statue thing. It's about 150 tons, 100 feet tall. It's big. And basically looks kind of like a wall with a crack in it. And on the inside of the crack, there's this big teardrop hanging down.
Oh, wow.
Oh, it was amazing. I never heard of it. I didn't know they did that.
Yeah, I don't know where it is.
Yeah, it's in line with the Statue of Liberty and where the Twin Towers were at. I forget the exact address, but it's somewhere out there in the general vicinity.
Finally started ringing.
Hello?
Hello, Blue Thunder. We are on the air with Eve Hennessy. You got a few minutes?
Yes, I do.
Okay, good deal. Go ahead. You guys just do it to it.
Well, I was just telling them how the work that you were doing when you came here with the Washington Monument and the Lincoln Memorial and how that ties into the work I was doing. So maybe you can explain about that.
Well, gladly, in a way. Well, good evening, everyone. This is Benny LeBeau, Eastern Shoshone from Wind River Indian Reservation in Wyoming. And my name is Rainbow Thunderheart. For those of you who don't know me by that name, my name is Blue Thunder. And the work that Eve and many others around the planet have been representing is about healing themselves and the environment. And I bring messages about how to look into the environment and clear up the energy within the circles, within circles on the surface, which are known as ley lines, spirit lines, and as a web of life. So working with Eve, she's a great intuitive divine feminine goddess that works with the serpents, the plume serpents, the rainbow serpents, as a life force energy. So she's a great connection to working with the sacred sites in Washington, D.C. So within these different areas, there's a lot of energy lines or ley lines, known as rose lines, kind of, or dragon lines to many. So with Eve working with these energy lines and others in Washington, D.C., is where the Pentagon is, the Washington Memorial, the Reflection Pool, and the Abraham Lincoln Memorial has words and thoughts that control humanity on the vortexes in these grid lines on the 33rd parallel energy systems. The major parallels run across that 33rd energy line, and so it runs all the way into Egypt and the major sacred sites that charge the Earth with electrical current that gives life to the planet. And anything that's been recorded in those energy lines, those ley lines, replays. So every government has their laws vibrating from those sacred sites and promoting this energy known as separation or not working together or not working for the betterment of everyone equally, like homeless people, animals need help, the rivers need help. Those who have power control those sacred sites for them to make money off of many things through the energies of the world. And so we're asking those peoples to remember what this means at this time. So Eve is one of the sacred wisdom carriers who came to this land and loves Washington, D.C. so much that she doesn't see any negative things happen here. She sees everything beautiful and blessed. And that's how she keeps the energy clean and clear around Washington, the air, the oxygen, working on the streams and springs and other forms of things. So she's doing a lot of things here in Washington, D.C. with a few others that are awake and moving to keep the tectonic plates calmed as they move into the shifts ahead, they say. So I really thank her for what she's doing in Washington, D.C. and other places around the planet with some of her gifts. It's not just one of her gifts, but she has many others too. And her way of teaching and helping people on the planet get healthy in many ways. So I'm sure she shared some things with you. And so it's about all I can say for now. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things to say, but we're here to help.
We appreciate you coming on. Yeah, thank you very much. Just hang up whenever you need to. And thank you very much for your comments, Guy. Hope to be talking with you again soon.
All right. Well, thank you, Blue Otter, and wherever Boogaloo's at. And thank you, Eve.
You bet.
And
you take it easy.
Hang in there. We'll see you soon again. Take care, y'all. Yeah. Blessings be to you and your journeys and your sacred work. Keep it up. Peace is on the way. It's going to happen with us or without us, the messages say. So we just got to keep working and keeping ourselves calibrated to more peace and love and caring for each other, and that'll get us through the future, and we'll inherit the Earth more gentler and easier than many are at this time.
That's right. Okay.
Thank you all.
Thanks a lot.
Blessings be. Hope we hear an hour soon.
Okay. Well, I'll get Grady. I'm glad we were able to get through with him. And anyway, go ahead and finish up if you need to go, just let us know, and we've really appreciated talking with you. Can you hear me, Eve? Oh, okay. I wonder what. I guess Eve left too. Okay. Well, that's cool. All right. Well, we appreciate everybody, and we're gonna let everybody go, and want to thank everybody for the prayers with my wife. What happened was, on the third Thursday, she woke me up, hollering, screaming, and knocking off the lamp and everything. And this has been going on for about 18 months. And of course, she's got a history going back 50 years of, you know, all kinds of tragic things that happened with her. Anyway, I held her for a while, and she said something about, you know, my brother's killing my cats and or wrecking my truck. And she's got some PTSD issues going back with her family. They're just not treated her well. And she got back to sleep. And about an hour and a half later, I guess, she came out. She was just crying her eyes out. And I led her over to her chair and just held her standing up for a couple of minutes. Got her sat down and went to get her, you know, some hot coffee. And I turned around and she had a bottle in her hand and looked like the cat that ate the canary. And she says that she told me what it was she took, but she did not. She wouldn't tell me. And I had no idea what she took. And I waited a few minutes. She seemed to be getting sleepy, and I went, oh my gosh, you know, I better make the call. Anyway, they had her in intensive care for two nights, and then they, 2 o'clock Saturday morning, I guess that was the 6th, they came and took her to a mental health facility. And, you know, I knew it was going to be torture, because it's just humiliating. The people that work in mental health just think they're jailers. They're just so burnt out and so stressed, and they're going to be cutting back even more. But I told her, I said, hey, something's good going to come out of this. Well, the good that came out of it was she was told, well, the Pristique that you've been taking for over 2 years is known to cause nightmares. And when I looked into it, you know, it's 10% of everybody that takes it gets them. And this is supposed to relieve anxiety? And it gets worse as you get older. You know, it was 60 years old, you got a 50% chance of getting them. And she's over 60. It gets worse as you get older. And for quite some time, I've wondered whether maybe trazodone, which is just a hypnotic. And they added that to her, and she's getting much, much better sleep. She's had fibromyalgia for quite a long time. It, you know, this all goes back. Everything goes back to childhood when she was sexually abused by her father, and her father, you know, apologized to her but told no one else in the family. And everybody, you know, it's just, you know, they put her out of the house rather than him. And it's just, you know, she's got some self-righteous sister-in-laws it's just terrible. But anyway, some good came out of it, and want to thank everybody for their prayers. They put her on Pristique because about 2.5 years ago she started having awful anxiety attacks, what she thought were anxiety attacks, but anxiety attacks don't last more than 10-15 minutes, half hour tops, and this was going on for hours and hours. And then after 2 months of this, and in and out of hospitals and a couple of mental health units, her stomach started hurting. And so went to the gastroenterologist, and he said, well, look, he says, this stuff is coming out of your gut. It's, you know, it's just pouring cortisol, and that's what's been causing this awful, awful feeling. And so it was at that time her primary care physician switched her off of Celexa onto Prestige, and then, you know, a few months later, you know, we didn't put it all together, and it's a real about face. It's been the last, you know, few years have really been hard on me because it's a I love you, I hate you, don't leave me kind of a situation. But she's doing a turnaround. I was wondering whether I'd ever see this turnaround. But when you get good sleep, you feel better. And if you don't get good sleep, you're going to feel like crap. And she's apologetic about stuff she said. I said, you don't apologize to me for nothing. I said, I've had, you know, I went through 10 years of untreated sleep apnea in my 30s. And and that all stemmed from an accident I had when I was like 19. And so I know about fatigue and everything. And plus she's been through hell with everything else. So she just wanted me to thank you, everybody. But let's let everybody go. We'll roll the outro music. And appreciate everyone very much. And Mark, thank you very much.
Glad to hear. We'll keep up the prayers a little bit for both of you.
Oh sure, yeah, we're gonna get better. And I'm losing some weight. I'm averaging about a pound and a half a week, and lost 6 pounds this month. And because I went in and they adjusted my high pressure medication. So you know, when you live with someone, you know, who's that situation. You know, I've lived with a tremendous amount of stress, and. My blood pressure, you know, was beginning to be a problem. So I said, nah, I can't do this anymore. I'm going to lose some weight. So anyway, can't be fat all your life. So anyway, appreciate everybody. Thank you very much. And thanks a lot, Mark.
Good night.
Okay, have a good night.
Join us to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Friends, this is your co-host, Will Bluewater. Join us now to learn how to legally worship using indigenous earth-based healing and empowering ceremonies. Aho. As Blue Water, seventh great-grandson of Old Tassel, first beloved man of the Cherokee, I'm remembering what Old Tassel said to the prevailing culture. Many proposals have been made to us to adopt your laws, your religion, your manners, and your customs. We have done so. Now it is time for our cultures to accept Old Tassel's ways and assisting us to walk in harmony with Mother Earth and Father Sky. Aho.
So that I may remember.